conversation with God. Isn't that great?
Amen.
You know, it's got to be, I say this all the time, God obviously has a lot of sympathy for us, and He's got to have a lot of such humor to see that some of the messes we put ourselves in, He's got to look back and just shake His head and say, you know, if they'd only listened to me back when, they wouldn't be in the mess they're in today. Is that true? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Nursery time. All right. Those of you that are under the age of 50 and need to go to the nursery.
I don't know that.
Marcia, we love you. We hope you return at some point in time. All right. Well, we're going to continue our series on questions that I have received over the last 40 years of ministry about the subject of heaven. This is one statement that I've heard almost all of my life when I talk with someone about heaven. And here's how it said to me, a lot of different versions, but this is basically what they say. All I want to do is make it. I just want to get there. If it's by the skin of my teeth, I just want to get there. I don't care about this thing called rewards or crowns or anything. I just give me a little corner cabin somewhere in glory land. That's all I'm asking for. Well, on the surface, that sounds sweet. But really, folks, that should not be your attitude. Because if I can barely make it into heaven, I can barely miss heaven. Does that make sense? I don't want to just barely make it into heaven. I want to go in there with the horns blowing. I want to go in knowing that I've done all that I can do for Jesus, and I'm going to be thankful that Jesus has provided a place for me. I want to go in there with attitude. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be humble about it. I do want to be humble. But we don't want people to say, oh, I just barely made it. No, because when we talk about the subject of crowns or rewards, some people have told me, I don't care about that. Well, you should, and I'm going to tell you why before we even get into this. Book of Revelation says one of the grand things that we're going to do as believers, when we worship Jesus Christ, we're going to lay our crowns at His feet. Now, how embarrassing is that going to be if I look around and everybody's got a crown but me? Oh. Huh? How would that be? No. No, we want to have several crowns to lay at the feet of Jesus. Now, in thinking along those lines, let's look at the questions I've been asked about this subject. Alright, first question says, will everyone receive a reward in heaven? Will everyone? And when will we receive these rewards? Question number one. Yes, every person will have at least one crown. And I'm going to show you in a minute where that's at. Every person will have at least one crown. I hope you have several, because there's actually five different crowns or rewards that believers can receive in heaven. And I hope that you've got more than one. But every person will have just one, and we'll see that in a minute. Now, when will we receive these rewards? When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first. You know that? And then those of us who have been left here on this earth, we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be caught up, and we call the fancy word rapture. And we're going to be caught up together, and there we're going to have seven wonderful years while down here on going to be 7 years of tribulation. I've taught this don't tell how many times in my 30 years here. So hopefully I'm not telling you anything that is new to you. And I'm not getting into all of that detail because that's not my purpose here today. Now, during that 7 years of wonderful time is when we're all going to meet Jesus face to face. Now, this is not the great white judgment throne. This is where everybody on the face of this earth will meet Jesus. That group you don't want to be in, because that's the group that he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," for the final destination that we call Hades, that we call hell. Now, but for Christian people, we still have to come before Jesus. But this is not for whether or not we're going to make it into heaven because we're there. But this is to talk about what we did for him while we were alive on this planet for however many years you were allowed to live here. What did you do? And your whole life is going to be shown in front of you. Wow. Now, anything that you've done for yourself will be a little embarrassing. That's going to go away. We've all got enough of that. But what you've done for the Lord, what you did for him, from the moment that you were saved until the moment you took your last breath on this planet, whatever you did for the Lord, you're going to be shown and receive a crown for what you did. Now we're going to look at all of these crowns and what you do to receive these crowns. Again, you want these crowns. This is not something that you say to yourself, "I just hope I just make it to heaven as long as I get there." No! I want you to go into heaven saying, "This is my home. Jesus died for me. I lived for him. I did the best I could. I prayed daily. I went to church. I studied his word." And he's going to say, "Welcome home, what? Thy good and faithful servant." Give the Lord a hand of applause. Each man's work shall be made manifest. Now, here, understand what Paul's saying. When it says each man's work will be made manifest, it's going to show you. God's going to show you what you did, basically. "For the day shall declare, because it is revealed by fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work for what sort it is." Here's the picture. Anything that we did, and all it did was promote selfish me. Burn up. Now, for one thing, I'm only thankful it's going to burn up, because once this meeting's over with, God ain't never going to throw this up in my face no more. But this particular meeting, he's going to show me what all I did that was wrong. And then we're going to get into everything that I did right. Look what it does. Alright, Larry, here we go. "If each man's work shall abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward." Some translations say crown. Either action, either word means the same thing. So anything that you did for the Lord, he's going to give you a crown. And later on, the book of Revelation says, we're going to turn around and take these crowns and lay them at his feet to worship him. Now, there are more than five, but there are five main ones in the Bible. I'm going to look at each one of them real quick. Now, I've done all kinds of studies on this over 40 years, and I've taken all kinds of time. I've got to go through this a little quick today for the purpose of what we're doing here now. But understand, there are more, but these are the five main crowns you can be striving for. All right, Larry, here we go. The five different kinds of rewards are crowns that believers, obviously just believers, receive in heaven. All right, Larry, here we go. Number one. Now, I'm just showing you the scripture, but I didn't print it out for time purposes. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25 through 27, it's called the victor's crown. Every Christian person will receive this crown. If I make it into heaven because of my belief in Jesus Christ, at the moment I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, one crown has been put in my name. So you're not going to make it to heaven unless you believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you've got a crown waiting for you. One. Okay? So every person that gets to heaven gets one. But there's many more you can get. Alright? This is found in 1 Corinthians called the Victor's Crown. Because I have victory over my life because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Alright, Larry, let's go. The crown of rejoicing, which is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. This crown is given to those who lead others to Christ. Now, understand this one thing. Not everybody has the ability to tell somebody how to be saved. But every one of you has the ability to live Christ in front of other people. Let me say this again. Not everybody has the ability to walk up to somebody and say, hey, are you lost? Let me tell you about Jesus. Some of you don't have a personality for that. In today's world we live, sometimes you can't go door to door and knock if you get killed doing that anymore. But here's what I think this is saying. If I act like a Christian person day in and day out, through how I react to how I act, people see that. And I tell you something else. When a little stress comes into your life, that's when you really find out what you're made out of. And people see that. They see how you react under stress. Our men's Sunday school class talked about that today. Because that's when you really find out what kind of relationship you have with God. Because Satan will put you under stress 7 days a week as much as he knows how to do it. But when we're under stress, we have to guard our temper, guard our mouth, guard how we react, how we act. You get the picture? Anybody here got a temper? All right, there's two honest people in church today. Raise both hands, Carl. You're all right. Raise both hands. Everybody here's got some sort of a temper if the right button is pushed at the right time. Y'all remember that series I preached here a few years ago called The Buttons? See, when you're not saved, your button's about this big. I mean, anybody can hit it. I mean, all you gotta do is look at your side blades and the battle's on. But hopefully, as I become a Christian person, and I get more of God in me through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His Holy Spirit, my button's reached. And I become a pretty decent individual. I'm witnessing for the Lord. I'm going to church. Doing things I should be doing. Button gets smaller and smaller. Now, it still can be hit. But it takes a whole lot more to hit that button at this stage of my life than it did when it was this stage of my life. Understand that, alright? But this is a marvelous crown because this goes to show how you act. Whether you're under stress, whether life's wonderful, or whether life stinks. And you don't ever know. Today can be wonderful, tomorrow it may stink. But it should not affect how you act as a Christian person. Do you get the picture? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Alright, the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. This crown is given to those who are ready. Key word ready when Jesus returns. Listen very closely. We've got people on this church road that are no more ready for the return of Jesus Christ than an ant out here in this driveway. Because you're going to get caught with your pants down when the trumpet sounds. I say this all the time to people who listen to me, whether you listen to me on the internet or those who listen to me here. The end of time is within our lifetime. Everything in the Bible has been fulfilled. If the trumpet is in the hands of Jesus, and I'm here to tell you folks, a lot of us here at our age, will more than likely and can be here and be alive when that trumpet sounds. And I'm here to tell you, you better be ready. Now, how do I get ready? What's that mean to be ready? It means, number one, I know Jesus, and I act like I know Jesus. Not only do I act like I know Jesus, there's three very important things to me in my life. Number one is my church. I go to church. If you can't find love here, which you can, there's all kinds of love here, find you a church where you can find it. All I say is find you a church where the preacher is preaching Jesus Christ. If he's preaching Jesus Christ and he's the only way to get to heaven, then that's fine with me. Now, if he's preaching something else, you get out of there as fast as you can get out of there. Now, understand this. We go to church. We find a church. We support that church. We support that church financially with our tithes and our offerings. We support that church with our attendance and with our talent, whatever that talent may be. Then we study God's Word. This is not a once-a-month deal, or this is just not in Sunday school. But you study God's Word, which means you take opportunities and take time to read it. Read it when it's quiet time, and then you study it. And here's how you study it. You pray, Lord, I'm getting ready to open up your Bible. Reveal it to me. If you just don't open it up and read it, you might as well just read the newspaper, because that's about as much as you can get out of it. Because God's Word comes alive when God's people say, Lord, make it alive to me. As I say all the time, make the words come off the page so that I understand it. And then number three is you need to have a relationship with Jesus where you talk with Him every day. It's called prayer. When you do those three things, and you're serious about that, I promise you, you'll be ready when the trumpet sounds. Or you'll be ready when you take your last heartbeat. Either way. This is a crown for good people who have served the Lord, gone to His house, read His Word, studied it, used their talents, and is ready for the trumpet to sound. What a crown this would be for a lot of people. Give the Lord a hand. All right, Larry. Now, this probably will be the hardest crown to try to get. Because look what it says. Out of James 1:12. It's called the crown of life. This crown is given to Christians who endure, who last, who endure trials in their life. See, a lot of us can serve the Lord as long as everything's all right. All right, I got money, I got health, my wife acts like she's got some sense, my husband works three or four jobs, you know, the preacher acts like he's got some sense, all my friends act like he's got some sense, I mean, life's wonderful. You get the picture? Well, that's stupidity, because life's not that way. I mean, life is a challenge on every level that you can make it. And if you don't think so, you're not living in my world. All right, this world is a challenge. From the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed, you don't know what you're going to face. You can get a phone call. You can get an email. You can get all kinds. You can meet somebody that will change your day real fast. Now, how do I endure this? Endure means I do not give up. By some title, I don't want to make it. Even though right now life may stink for me, I got health issues, I got money issues, I got relationship issues, I got all the issues you can put in the bank. But it will not stop me from praising the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand. Now, this next one is basically for a select group of people. But I'm going to give you the definition of a pastor in just a second. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, called the crown of glory. And this crown is given to pastors or ministers of the churches. Because most of the time, these people have set their lives aside to bring the gospel. Now, there's been a great big debate over time on whether or not that this is strictly only for ministers. Here's what I say. If that's the case, that's fine with me. Hopefully I will receive that crown as I have put up a few people. But more than that, I think that it may not be just secured by pastors, because I know a lot of people that are ministers but don't have reverence in front of them. When you minister to somebody, it means you show them unconditional love. You witness to them at a time when they're at the lowest of the moment. You give them hope. And by the definition of that, I don't know that this is exclusive of just ministers and pastors and churches, because all of you have the ability to minister to people. Either way, I have no problem with it. But understand this. It's a crown of glory given to a specific group of people who've set their lives aside to minister the gospel. And again, there are more than this, but these are the five main crowns. Understand this. Everyone will come to the table before. But I love this group of people. And I cannot help but believe that when you face the Lord one day, some of you are going to have more than one. Because I see how you live. I see how you reach out. I see how you care. And yet, what concerns me is we also have people in this church that unless some changes are made, they'll never get to this point. What I mean by that is there are some people, somehow or another, convince themselves that they can get to heaven by just saying the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus is a name. Just like Roger's a name. You can sit all day long and he's lost as a duck out of water. You understand that? It's not the name. It's what you believe in a person. Understand this. A lot of times when you ask people, are you saved? Yes, I know God. I hear that a lot. Well, what do you mean you know God? How do you know God? Well, I look out here in the trees. I look up in the sky. I know there's a God. Well, here's what you're going to hear one day. You're going to hear, depart from me, for I never knew you. As folks, you can believe in the sky, believe in a tree, and give God all the praise you want. God the Father said, if you don't believe in my Son Jesus Christ, you won't ever see the gate of heaven. So we have to understand something, folks. Salvation is a personal choice and a personal decision that you made. And if you're listening to me by internet, understand this. It's a choice that needs to be made today. Because when the trumpet sounds, this world's going to change. You need to know Jesus today. You need to understand that he loved you, cared for you, died for you, and he did it because of his amazing grace for you. But it's up to you. You're the one that makes that choice. All I'm asking is, don't just think you know Jesus by name. You need to know the person, and your heart needs to know him, and he needs to be the Lord of your life. And when you look at these crowns, you begin to see what they're about, it's going to tell you real quick how much he's going in your life. You know, it's going to tell you. You know whether or not you're passing the test or not. I mean, it don't take no rocket science to figure that out. If you don't want to, just barely make it. That's a horrible attitude. Because if you can barely make it, you can barely miss it. So, it's all about Jesus, living for Jesus, and knowing that he is your word. And that he is number one. And when he's number one, I promise you, he knows he's number one. Because you're in his house, you're in his word, and you're on your knees. Give the Lord a hand. Please stand with me, please. Is every head bowed, or every eye closed? Thank you. Father, how I am so thankful for your word today. Father, as we understand that we will not see heaven unless we believe in Jesus Christ. And Father, we want to believe in Him. We want Him to be the Lord of our lives. But Father, for those here today who've never made that decision or never made it public, this needs to be the day of salvation before they leave this building. And all you got to do is come and say, "Brother Roger, I want to be saved. I want to ask you a couple of questions." But mainly what I'm going to do is I'm going to welcome you to the kingdom of heaven. And this will be the first day for the rest of your life in Jesus. Maybe you do know Jesus, but you just, you know, you sort of lost your path and lost your way. Come and let me have a word of prayer with you and just say, "Brother Roger, I want to rededicate my life. I want to make a difference in other people's lives. I want to have a word of prayer with you." Maybe you just need a quiet time here at this altar. You don't necessarily need me to say anything to you. You just need to come and ask the Lord to watch over your life. Maybe there's somebody that's sick in your family. Maybe there's somebody you just need to pray for. Come to this altar. Lay it here. Let Jesus know your heart. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. Well, we'd love to have you here in our little church. Just come and say you want to come and join us. We'll put you on our roll and tell you how proud and how glad we are that you're here. But the decision is yours. The choice is yours. But please, do not leave this place without knowing Jesus. The clock is running. And time is not on our side. Because believe me, those of you who are Christian people along with me are ready for the troublous hour. Father, bless this invitation. We turn it over to you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of